Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Zelina Zito was the person you remember way back when that we had on a lot, used to write for the Pittsburgh Papers and some others. She'll be with us presently here. Her book, The Great Revolt, now out in paperback, but she's added a big new section to it about President Trump and what is happening. And I plan to use some of this in the speech tonight, Dan, out there in Delco. She was the most insightful, well ahead of the curve in the Rust Belt, chronicling what was happening with Trump and what was going to happen on election night, because even the day before the election, it was seen as in the 90 percentile, the idea that President Trump was not going to be president, that it was going to be Hillary Clinton. So we'll have that coming up with Zelina Zito. But 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. Now, we played you William Barr just a moment ago, the Attorney General of the United States. And what he did there was masterful, and a couple of listeners did make a good point about it, that if it continues as it is, I don't know how it could get much worse, that we see this disrespect, this hatred, this outright hatred for police in general, then what you're going to see is, I guess, fewer and fewer people that want to be cops. Think about it. Seattle, there was a big piece a while ago. Starting salary, $75,000. And they still are having trouble recruiting police, even at that kind of starting salary. You know, I think that ought to be the starting salary in Philadelphia also. I think it's 54 or 55, something like that. And all the hatred you can take. All right, Zelina Zito is with us here. Her book, The Great Revolt, now out with a brand new section. Zelina, how have you been? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Is it snowing there?
No, I don't say the S word. Where you are, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Where are you today?
Pittsburgh. Home.
Of course. All right. So, Zelina, people remember this way back when, and then your tremendous book that I've cited many times, The Great Revolt, citing what was happening with Trump. So you have it out now with a new foreword to it. And what are you writing about in that section?
Well, you know, first of all, thanks for having me on. The Great Revolt, the book, is really a blueprint for understanding who is in the Trump coalition and why we don't understand who they are. There are assumptions made in my profession where they are marginalized to being this thing, right? White, old, uneducated, and bigoted. You know, that's sort of
start with the bigoted. That's the thing that usually starts, right?
Right, right. But you know, I went out there and because I understood he was going to win, I noticed how this coalition was starting to form. I went back out there to make sure I had it right. And the Great Revolt sort of takes you into these communities in 10 counties in the Great Lakes states that flipped from Obama to Trump, including our own Luzerne County and Erie County. And people were able to, whether they voted for Trump or not, really able to understand the change that was happening within our American political parties, this shift, if you will. And what is most important about the afterword in the book, and why it's important to, you know, I think, in understanding not only what happened in 2018, where people thought the Trump coalition fell apart, it didn't. We explain how it stayed together. Just because they lost the House does not mean the coalition fell apart. Nobody said that the Obama coalition fell apart in 2010, when he mm-hmm. lost the House. But yet that was, you know, the common narrative. And not understanding who this coalition is going to continue to make people in my profession look foolish when trying to understand what's happening in this country.
Is it fair to say, Selena, though, that Trump doesn't have coattails? In other words, you're out there on the ground, but my observation with people I talk with, they can't wait to vote for Trump, but transferring that to people who are the typical Republican or sort of like that, they don't want to do it because the real secret in Pennsylvania is the number of moderate Democrats or the number of people who only occasionally voted that he got to come out and vote and will get to come out and vote again.
Right. Those voters in the book were called Perotistas, the ones that don't vote all the time. We called them that. We named them after Ross Perot. They're sort of like Halley's Comet. They only show up every so many years. They were 6% of the voting block in 2016, and they are incredibly important in his coalition in for 2020. The book also explores what's going to happen in 2020. While we don't make striking predictions, we do lay out how what to watch, what to understand, what to really pay attention to, as opposed to hopping on Twitter or hopping on the network news. And you know, if that was your total consumption, you would believe that he stands no chance to win in 2020 and that this coalition is over. But if you understand the people that voted for him with the intellect rather than, you know, assumptions, you will understand what is going on in this country. This coalition isn't going away.
No, it is the strongest political base I've ever seen. So let me give you one that people in your realm, you're on national things, CNN and all, even though you're not part of this ilk. Some of these pundits, though, they kept on saying, I don't know what the new one is, if Trump doesn't get that wall built, that was his promise, his coalition, his base is going to abandon him. I have not gotten one caller that has said that in the last 2 years. Not one.
I have been back and forth across the country and also vertically from Maine down to the Deep South. That is not something that any Trump supporter ever says is a reason not to vote for him. He ran as an agent of change in 2016. He's still an agent of change. People that don't understand the Trump coalition do not understand the deeply rooted mistrust of all larger institutions. That's not just government bureaucracies, that's not just political parties, but that's also cultural institutions that impact our daily lives, like Hollywood or entertainment or sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still the outsider. He's still not
more so. No, it is more so now, they actually see the full court press of the impeachment and removal, rather than just scorning him. Now it's actually hell-bent, even if it's a political disaster, to take him out.
You know, the Trump voters are not stupid, despite the narrative, right? They know things take time. They don't have a level of expectation of pulling up to McDonald's, placing your order for a wall, and driving away and getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
They understand the deeply rooted bureaucratic breaks that Trump faces every day. I have said this so many times, and I will continue to believe this to be true. The only thing that would hurt Trump is if he became part of
That's it. Now, I would give you an example. It's a small one. When, because of Melania and Ivanka and a lot of stuff out there, he was dabbling with the idea of banning certain vaping products, will appeal to the soccer moms and all that, and his better instincts kicked in, and he didn't do that. You know, that wouldn't have gotten them to break trust with him, but I'm giving you a small example. It would take something that was a complete sellout of becoming part of that for the coalition to give up on him.
When I interviewed then candidate Trump in 2016, I remarked to him, you know, voters take you seriously, but they don't take every word that you say literally.
Right.
But but my profession takes everything you say literally, but does not take your candidacy seriously.
That was one of the best lines ever. You want to be in the book of quotes on that one. Exactly.
What that has morphed into is what I call the Tuesday Thursday Trump. And so what does that mean? On Tuesday, he may say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. By Thursday, his better instincts, as you just said, kicks in, and he says, nah, not really. I'm not going to do that. And that just, like, again, makes my profession's hair go on fire. Why? Because politicians never change their mind. Mm-hmm. And if they do, it means the end of them. Trump isn't a politician. He changes his mind all the time, and when he does change his mind, it only reinforces support. It doesn't make people abandon him. Because why? People in their daily lives have to change or compromise their positions all the time.
Absolutely.
Whether it's at family, whether it's at work, or whether it's at the playground with their children, compromise is part of our lives, and changing our mind is part of our lives. It's called normal, and you cannot cure normal.
The book, The Great Revolt, now with a big after foreword with Zelina Zito. So, Zelina, with that kind of catbird seat, who is it, and I know that's based upon everybody that's there, that has any shot at beating Trump, say, in Pennsylvania, then nationally, Pennsylvania would be a good bellwether, on the Democratic side? I still come back to, as addled as he is, Joe Biden is the only one that I could see stumbling across the finish line. I think it'll be Elizabeth Warren. I'm still in that camp. And there is no shot in a place like Pennsylvania for Warren to win that I can see.
Warren can't win Pennsylvania. Just on one issue alone, that would be fracking.
Yes.
Banning it on day one. That would impact the voter turnout in not only Western Pennsylvania, but also the Scranton area. And one thing that people don't talk about with Warren is her Medicare for All. Does not anybody ever say, well, how's that impact the insurance jobs in this
unions
country, in this
right
state? I mean, Pennsylvania, the outside of the government, the largest employer is UPMC. One third of their employees are in the insurance business. That impacts a suburban voter.
Yes, exactly. When the people actually realize, we're not kidding, that she would take away what you've struggled for, your private health insurance, as quickly as possible. You're not going to be president if people actually believe that when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that his biggest challenge would be Joe Biden. I don't know if Joe Biden is up for the task, but nonetheless, on paper, and even for nostalgia reasons, Joe Biden is the one that can pull together a coalition that could be formidable against the president. Pete Buttigieg, people keep trying to make Pete Buttigieg happen, but I here's the nuance about him again that is missing in the narrative, but a problem for him, and that's his pitting different Christian
yes
denominations against each other. Now, that might sound like, wow, that's really obscure. It's not. It's not obscure at all. Christians do not like that. Christians do not like a holy war between each denomination.
No.
And to sort of try to litigate that yours is more superior doesn't sit well with that voting block.
No, I couldn't agree more. I still think it's Biden, but I don't see him getting to the finish line. I think they're serious about the Democrat base. They want impeachment. And I'm going to ask you in a moment if you think they will vote for impeachment. And they want someone like Warren. The base must be satisfied. And that's why I don't see it in the cards for Biden. Do Democrats, in your view, then, given how this could be very bad for them politically if we have a Senate trial, vote for impeachment, ultimately?
In the House?
Yes.
You know, it's really hard to tell. You know, look, these voters in 2018 that decided to take a chance and vote for a Democrat, a moderate Democrat who ran against, who ran for things like, you know, health care and making things work. Someone like, say, Connor Lamb in
yes
my district. They, there is a lot of regret among Trump voters who decided, you know, to go with this guy because, you know, he said he was going to be this, this, and this, and it turned out to be nothing, nothing, and nothing. You know, that's a big problem for a lot of these 43 moderate Democrats who won in swing districts. You know, I don't know what they do. I'm not going to make a prediction on that because I don't understand what they're going to do.
Alrighty. All right. Well, Zelina, thank you very much. Thanks for the update on the book. The book is available all over the place. The Great Revolt. Specifically, where should people look for it?
Oh, you can just go onto my website, which is just my name, selinazito.com. You can buy it from either Amazon or an independent bookseller. And you could, if you want, sign up for my emails as I travel across the country. They're free and they're fun and they're not fattening.
Thank you, Zelina. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.